It's time for our catch-up with Frederick Schroeder, who is the president of the World Blind Union. Now, when we last spoke to Fred, I suppose the COVID-19 situation was at its early stages. So what is the impact carrying on from them? And what other business is the organization involved in at the moment? What's topical, if you like? Fred, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Just to mention briefly about your, it's a quadrennial as opposed to an annual general meeting, but that had to be changed for obvious reasons this year.
Yeah, sadly, it was anticipated that we would have a joint assembly with ICEVI, which is the group that represents teachers of blind children. But of course, with COVID-19, that was not practical. So what we've done is we've rescheduled the general assembly to the end of May 2021, and people are able and interested in attending. We'd love to have.
So the coronavirus situation has obviously affected everyone's lives in different ways, including the WBU. I suppose that's created some ongoing work for you as well.
It has. It is just kind of a new application of our core work, which is to advance opportunities for blind children and adults. We deal with education, employment, technology, and access to the environment. We've worked a lot on smart cities, self-driving cars, and access to printed material, all the things you would think of as a blind person. But COVID-19 has introduced some specific problems or challenges for blind people and others with disabilities. And so we've spent a great deal of our time trying to address COVID-19.
Being that lockdown, if you like, it has eased different stages and there's been different effects around the world, has that kind of complicated your work with, say, sight loss organizations across the globe?
You make a very good point. The condition related to the coronavirus is dramatically different country by country. Plus, you have economic differences, healthcare infrastructure differences. So there is no one size fits all. So early on, we issued a list of 19 items under what we called our call to action. It was to lay out a policy blueprint, if you will, that our members could use in advocating for what blind people and others with disabilities needed from their governments related to COVID-19. But one serious concern we have is if you have an emergency room physician and there is one ventilator and two people who need it, will they view the blind person as having a lesser quality of life and say, well, this person's life is pretty damaged anyway, so perhaps that ventilator should be allocated to the other individual? Now, of course, our point isn't to say always give priority or preference to the blind person, but to say don't let assumptions about blindness and its impact on quality of life be the determining factor. So that's just one example under our call to action and those 19 principles.
Is that supported by groups within the United Nations because you have a strong connection there?
Our CEO, Jose Vieira, is a member of the permanent stakeholder group of people with disabilities at the United Nations, and he was able to speak at the UN 75th anniversary celebration. So he was able to raise disability in a very, very high-profile way, and he spoke about COVID-19 and its impact on forgotten populations, to use a UN term that I think you and I and all of your listeners would find a bit objectionable. They lump us into what they call vulnerable populations. But regardless, yes, we have had the ability to address many different UN agencies. One of the problems, Alan, that we run into is when you have a crisis, the response takes into account the ordinary person, which isn't illogical, but it's easy to forget blind people and others with disabilities. At the moment of the crisis, it's especially hard because people are saying, for goodness sakes, we're just trying to get tents and clean water to these people. We don't have time to deal with disability issues. But that compromises our human and civil rights. And so, yes, we have had good response in getting the United Nations to publicly acknowledge the needs of blind people and others.
Has the situation then given a baseline, if you like, for any future emergencies that perhaps governments and agencies will perhaps be more responsive rather than reactive to the needs of people with sight loss.
That's the hope. And again, what we try to do is create a global infrastructure at the policy level, usually, which then gives our national members the inroad, if you will, to advocate for change at the national level. In other words, if they go to their parliament and say, this is an issue, and the parliament and that nation's government has been hearing that it's an issue worldwide through the UN, the idea is that then it will be taken more seriously. So we've done work on disaster relief, disaster risk management for a very long time. Yes, I think COVID-19, because it is a global pandemic, has really enabled us to say this needs to be part of disaster planning.
The situation we're in at the moment, I suppose, shouldn't also take away the focus on some of the points you discussed earlier. You mentioned employment and education and smart cities. Are they still ongoing as well?
They are. Just to give you an example, of course, I live in the United States, so I'm most familiar with our data. But we have actually a little over 45 million workers in the U.S. have been displaced because of coronavirus. They've lost their jobs. Now, some proportion of those will be people with disabilities. What we're hearing is that perhaps as many as 40% of those people will not have jobs to return to. Either the employer will have decided that the company can function with fewer employees, the company may have gone bankrupt, etc. So COVID-19, we believe, will have or is already having a disproportionate impact on blind people and others with disabilities. So looking at issues around technology that would allow people to telecommute, allow them to train for other jobs, all of that is central to our work. So, for example, people are using these online platforms for group meetings that in the past would have been held in person. And as those platforms become more widely used, we have used the coronavirus pandemic as a way of alerting companies to accessibility issues. There is one online platform that has several products, and most of what they have is quite accessible. It's not that they're reluctant on the accessibility front, but this has given us an opportunity to say blind people in large numbers are using your products, and this one has this and that accessibility deficiency. And that will be lasting. Once those are addressed, even when the virus is under control, those fixes will continue.
Fred, we are almost out of time, but if people would like to learn more about the World Blind Union, what's the best way to do that?
Go to our website, www.wbu.ngo. And we have a specific portal related to COVID-19 where people can get a great deal of information.
Fred, pleasure speaking with you as always. We'll catch up again very soon. But in the meantime, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.